and welcome to Over the Edge, Episode 1. My name is Luke Erickson, your host of the Over the Edge podcast. And before we get into today's topic, I would just like to first give a huge thank you to you guys for subscribing to the YouTube, supporting the Instagram and the Facebook, wherever you guys are coming from. It seriously means a lot. This is obviously starting off as a passion project of mine, and I really hope I can turn this into something that you guys enjoy listening to every week. So, now, without further ado, let's get into today's topic, and that is the Electoral College. We're going to be talking about today why it's a thing, winner-take-all laws, tyrannical majority, and finally, this is the question of the day, should it still exist? A little disclaimer that all the facts and or articles that I will be referring to in this podcast can be found in the description if you guys would like to check those out or do a little bit of research on your own. I would greatly encourage it. And without further ado, let's get into our first interview. Okay, hello, welcome back. We have our first guest with us today, Nick Kramer. We are talking about the Electoral College. Nick, how do you feel about this issue?
Well, I think the Electoral College in itself is essential to maintain democracy in our country, essentially for the same reason that the Democrats are arguing that we should get rid of it. It's to protect the voices of every American in our country. And without it, as Luke may have expressed, politicians will only campaign in New York, California, and all these large states with huge populations that account for the majority of the population. And in this situation, the vote of the farmer from Kentucky or the dairy farmer from Wisconsin isn't heard because they don't matter as much in the overall aspect of the election. The Electoral College has been designed to protect from the tyranny of the majority, as James Madison called it. So every voice, every lifestyle in our country, which is very diverse, the life of a rancher in Montana is far different than the life of an investment banker in Chicago. So it is essential to protect the overall health of our democracy, and it's essential to protect different points of views.
Nick, I would definitely agree with you on a lot of what you just said, and I was very surprised that the James Madison quote as well was something that came up in my research. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of the cons to the Electoral College, and you can tell me what you think of those, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, so the one, and this is, I think, the biggest one for a lot of people, is let's take the Democrat in Alabama, okay? Alabama, obviously, a majority, mainly red state throughout history. The main argument against the Electoral College is that there's no point in that person voting because pretty much no matter what, that state will be red, and therefore that person's voice is not heard, and their vote, in quotation marks, does not count.
Well, in that situation, there's always going to be minority, right? So it's all based on the overall perspective of the citizen of Alabama, right? The reality that most of them face.
Yes.
So say there is a Democrat, and I'm sure there is plenty of Democrats in the state of Alabama. It's not that their voice isn't heard. It is plenty heard, and they're plenty open to campaign for Democrats and try and push the state blue. You can take a look at California. California was once a red state and has since shifted blue. There's always political shifts, but it's all about the perspective, right?
Yeah.
So Republican ideals and legislation oftentimes, in the view of someone from Alabama, is a positive. So you're always going to have shifts, right? So they're open to campaign. They're open to try and make a shift. But unfortunately, there's always going to be a minority.
Yeah. Okay. That's definitely a fair response. Another question I'm going to ask you, and this is about something that I believe two or three states have implemented. I know Nevada is one of them, is where they are allowed to split up the votes in the Electoral College based on kind of the population of voters that voted one way or another. How do you feel about that, Nick?
Right. I think that's up to each individual state. I don't think it's a bad idea to split the vote proportional to the overall number of votes that each party got. I think it's
yes.
Honestly, in my opinion, probably a good idea because I think that does promote even more democracy.
Yes. Without leaving it completely up to the popular vote.
Right. I think that is a great solution. It's a hybrid solution to getting rid of it and keeping it.
Yeah.
Because it's essential. It's foundation. The founding fathers didn't put it in there for no reason. They didn't want the population to vote for the presidency in a whole, because as we described earlier, there's James Madison's quote, there's a tyranny of the majority. You don't want the majority to crush the minority, right? And that seems to be an ideal that the Democrats hold. So it's somewhat confusing to me that they would be against the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. My feeling is they're just butthurt because Hillary lost.
It definitely became a very controversial topic after the election. And honestly, this was one of the most interesting topics to me. Not at first glance. I thought this was actually going to be a more boring episode. But after I did some research, I was of the opinion that the Electoral College was not the best. But after I had looked into James Madison's original purpose for it, I do believe it still applies today, contrary to what a lot of people say.
Right. And if you just take a look at what the outcome would have been, say Hillary won, I mean, you look at the electoral map, the majority of the country geographically voted right. They voted for Republicans because that is the viewpoint of the majority of America.
Yes.
As we discussed earlier, New York, California, Texas, those would be the only three states that would matter because they account for the rest of the population once over.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about someone's vote in a state not mattering, get rid of the Electoral College, because then the vote from Wisconsin legitimately wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I think as much as even it not mattering is the whole point, I think the most important part of democracy is having an informed voter. And I think if politicians aren't advertising, aren't campaigning, aren't, you know, setting up things in these smaller swing states where, you know, where the factory worker are, where the farmer are, and they can't get information easily about that, I think democracy as a whole kind of sinks.
I agree with that. Yep, most definitely.
Okay, well, Nick, do you have any other closing statements you'd like to make, or questions for me or the podcast or the viewers? Any, you know, feel free to shout out whatever you want right now.
Well, my personal opinion is I think that our generation, I would think that this podcast is targeted towards the Gen Zers and maybe some millennials.
Definitely.
But I think overall we're shifting more right. I think the Democratic parties exist today, especially when it comes to Electoral College and all these other controversial issues. They've lost most of the intelligent argument behind what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important. I think this podcast is a great way of promoting intellectual arguments rather than just pointing and yelling at each
other. And that's honestly the whole reason I set this up. I feel I'm on college. I'm at the University of Utah right now in Salt Lake City. And that was the biggest thing for me. I feel like these topics, especially when you get into even spicier one, obviously Electoral College is pretty PG, but you talk about abortion, you talk about gender, gun laws, and it is extremely difficult, to find people that you can have a civil conversation with. And I think that's why this is so important, is for these smart college kids to be able to express, you know, how they feel with people of, you know, in their generation.
Right. And I think both sides are to blame somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong and you're the enemy, which is,
exactly,
is against democracy in itself. And it's become so polarized that I mean, Antifa and all these the white supremacists fighting Antifa, and there is white supremacists, sure, but the left would lead you to believe that all Republicans are white supremacists, but that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to come back on and talk about one of the more passionate issues I have is the loan crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge, especially student loan crisis.
Yes.
But overall, so this is a great way of encouraging conversation.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Nick. And I will gladly have you on for another episode. Would you like to shout out the automotive Instagram that you got going on?
Oh, yeah, you can find me on Instagram, midwest.motorsports, midwest.motorsports on Instagram. Feel free to go over there and give me a follow.
All right. Thank
you very much.
Yeah, Nick, have a good rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, great. Welcome back. We have our next guest with us on the Over the Edge podcast. I am joined by my cousin, Evan. Evan, I understand that you don't have the strongest opinion on this topic. So I guess fill me in on what your understanding of the Electoral College is right now.
So I kind of just understand like the very basic concept of what it is. And I don't really have, like, that's kind of the extent of my knowledge. Like,
yeah, okay.
I just know how like the system works. Like, yeah. That's really it.
States all have electoral votes, and whoever has the most electoral votes wins the presidency. So,
right.
The two sides of this, and we're not going to, for sake of just kind of making it easier, there's a hybrid of it that we talked about in the last interview about states where they can split the electoral vote. But for the sake of this, we're going to keep it as either keeping it or getting rid of it. And so what I'll tell you, and you can form your opinion kind of as I give you these facts, if we keep the Electoral College, what's good about it is it represents all the different lifestyles kind of and states in America. Obviously, the average lifestyle in Alabama is going to be very different from the average lifestyle in California. Okay?
Right.
And if we get rid of the Electoral College, the problem with that is when you go to a straight popular vote is that politicians then will only campaign in California, Texas, New York. That's where almost everybody lives. You know, a wide majority. And so swing states like Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio, you know, places like that, factory workers, things that Democrats and Republicans try really hard to win over, no longer become relevant because they're not in the majority. So, but the con of the Electoral College, and this is what a lot of people say when they say that they don't think their vote counts, is when you're in a state, so let's say California, which is very blue at the moment.
Yeah.
If you're a Republican and you go out to the voting booth, you might think that your vote really doesn't matter because you know no matter what, California is always going to be blue. And so your vote doesn't really matter in that sense. If you have a state that's predominantly, you know, that faction, or not faction, but, you know, that party. So based off that, and obviously there's a little more to it, but based off that, what's your initial opinion of the Electoral College?
Right. So I think from the jump, my initial reaction is to I don't see any reason to get rid of it. I'd rather it stay around for the the main reason being you had mentioned that it like would, if it were to be taken away, it would kind of like make all states that aren't like 3 to 5 most popular or like most populated states irrelevant, right? And I think doing that would affect more people's like mindset of not feeling like their vote matters more than if you were to keep it, and the people that are within like states that are predominantly blue and they're trying to vote red would like those people are affected by how it is now. But that's something that can kind of change a lot easier than just like if you were to get rid of the system altogether. So I don't know. I think keeping it is the way to go if you had to pick between the two. But I mean, whether or not you'd like alter something about it is a different question.
Yeah. So I'll fill you in on this one little thing. I believe it's between two states. I know Nevada is one of them. Is now what they do is they have the Electoral College, obviously, but they will split. Okay. They're allowed to split the vote based off the percentage of voters that voted one way or another. So let's say, here, let me get to it. Nevada has 6 votes. So let's say it's split 50-50. They're allowed to put 3 of their votes towards the Democrats and 3 of their votes towards the Republicans, or 1 towards the independent, or, you know, whatever their state votes for. And if they have 55%, they're allowed, you know, they can do 4 and 2, or, you know, whatever possibility comes up. Do you think that solution still keeps the, the basis of why we have the Electoral College to include everyone there, while, I guess, including more of the majority? Do you think that's a good compromise, or do you think keeping it the way it is fine?
I'm still a little bit confused on how the Nevada system works exactly. I don't know. Maybe my understanding of the Electoral College as a concept, like in general, is a little bit like vague, and so like
yeah,
understanding how that's different from what's currently going on is not really like
so. Oh yeah, so I'll tell. So right now in the 48 other states, it's winner take all. It's called a winner take all law. So let's say California wins by one vote for the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats get all 55 electoral votes. It's not. It's not split. Is what it is right now.
Right. So like Nevada is allowing a maximum almost of they wouldn't throw all of them into
exactly.
One,
so it, like, they're allowed party. To split it. The electors are allowed to split where they vote, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's beneficial. I mean, like, it definitely alleviates some of the feeling of like not having a very
voice, yeah,
significant
exactly.
vote or influence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's like all that can be done about it, I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that that's probably, it seems like a step in the right direction. Just that information alone.
Yeah. Well, Evan, I thank you for having you on and for you having an open mind and being willing to kind of learn with me on this podcast a little bit. I encourage you, and like I said in the introduction of this video, all my links and facts that I have talked about in this video can be found in the description. If you guys would like to do a little bit of research on your own, I would highly encourage it. Become more informed. Thanks for being on, Evan.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, guys, we're back again. We're still with Evan. I remembered. Yeah, Evan's here. Evan's here. I remember that my friend Evan here had written a paper about political polarization, which is the main reason that I started this podcast in the first place. So we were just kind of having a conversation. We thought it might be interesting for you guys to listen to and just kind of explain the reason I'm doing this, and that is, it's not to convince anybody. I'm not trying to push somebody one way or another, liberal or conservative. The whole point of this is to, I guess, let people understand why other people think a certain way. Evan, can you tell me, like, kind of the thing that you were, like, the majority of the population or a percent of them think that the other side is actually less human?
I don't know about like that claim in particular. I mean, like, I don't know how much I have to say on that. I think it's kind of just the idea of like, people will kind of like have these preconceived notions about other sides, whether it's, you know, right, left, or independent or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll like see anything that stands out as like, that it like associates with that group, and then they'll like latch onto that and associate it with like all of the negative things that come with that party or group or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that generalization in really any form is not really fair to the individual, especially in a lot of cases where people will judge someone just based off of what they see, and then they won't actually give them a chance to like, they won't even interact with that person to give them a chance to like express their views or their just what they stand for in general. So
yeah, exactly.
I think that it's kind of harmful.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think if people can take away anything, the title or like the slogan of this is to seek to understand. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to convince anyone. I just want you to be able to meet someone that maybe has different political views from them and not even necessarily have a debate or anything, but understand where they're coming from. And be able to be friends with that person or have a relationship with that person. Like, I don't think these things need to be deal breakers. If we're able to understand where mm-hmm. the other side is coming from. And I think that's something that's really lacking, especially in our generation, just cause of how rare conversations like these are. Especially just cause people can get very, very heated about them.
Yeah, exactly. I think people, like, at least in today's society, it seems like there's a lot of, like, an unwillingness to listen to, like, differing views. Because, like, it's always, everyone's like so amped up about seemingly everything, I guess. Yeah. And I mean, fair enough, there are a lot of issues that are very high stakes and they are very important to like the success of the country, but at the same, or country or the world at large, but having to like, you're not going to get any solution out of dealing with the issues in an uncivil manner, right? Like you can't convince the people that are against you to want to agree with you when you're not approaching them with respect. Like you have to give them enough respect to at least like try to take you seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I think
you have
like
to take
how
them
you said,
seriously to have them take you seriously.
Yeah, how you said people like won't even listen. And I'd say people will listen, but they won't listen for the right intent. Like they're listening so that they can correct
right.
you or that they can, you know, shove their point on you. But they're not listening to
right.
like actually understand where you're coming from. Because I think a big part of most of these things is like your personal experiences. And like you're never going to know what somebody's been through for why they believe in certain gun policies or why they believe in certain abortion laws. Like I think it's super important mm-hmm. to try to really understand why the person believes in this and where they're coming from. Instead of just pushing whatever
yeah.
you heard on a Ben Shapiro show or on MSNBC or, you know, whatever, some facts that you heard, like try to really understand where the person's coming from and grow from it, you know,
right.
become more knowledgeable yourself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will like, but like you said, they're not listening for the right intent. So I think
exactly.
that, like, there are people that will listen for trying to understand, but I think they're a lot more commonly people will like, listen to try and confirm what they thought originally
exactly.
about the person. So they'll just, you know, look for anything they can to kind of continue their notion
exactly.
that they had.
I know personally before I started this podcast, anytime that I would finally open up about conversations like these were people that I knew agree with me and people I knew I could just kind of,
yeah.
you know, not necessarily like be mean to like the other party, but just, you know, like agree and be like, oh yeah, what they think is obviously ridiculous. Like, how could you think that? Versus having a conversation with that person and then understanding why they think that. And it's most of the time, it's not ridiculous. It's a totally reasonable
right.
explanation.
Yeah, and that's something I try to do when I'm like talking with people about politics. And like I try to do the best I can to understand like the viewpoint of both sides. I mean, depending on the issue, of course, but
yeah.
like. If someone will like be super dedicated to one perspective, I'll try to like throw in the other and see if I can like not necessarily convince them because it might not be something that I agree with myself, but I'll just like point out like this is where other people might be coming from on the issue and kind of like challenge their perspective whether I believe in.
Oh yeah, I think it's really fun to see challenge people even if you know believe in the other side. It's like, well, why do you believe that, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like poke holes in it just to make, I mean, because a lot of people will, I don't want to generalize myself because that'd be very hypocritical, but like
yeah.
people
yeah,
do
yeah.
tend to like just, you know, read the headline and then like make the opinion based off of that.
Exactly.
And not a lot of people are willing to do their own research or even just like go to a source that's necessarily like contradictory to what they already believe
mm-hmm.
And get their information from there. And I don't know, I try to do my best to like do that, I guess.
Yeah,
but
no, and everything from where you get to news to who you follow on social media, you know, really influences those kind of things. So if you can switch that up once in a while, you know, maybe instead of getting
yeah.
your news from MSNBC opinion, go to, maybe even go all the way, go to Blaze, go to, you know, Breitbart,
or go to InfoWars.
Yeah, go to InfoWars. You know, do go to the other side, like see how
hey,
they're
guys, they're making the frogs gay. I'm
just trying
to let you
okay.
know.
Okay. Not, okay.
gotta spice up the podcast, man.
Gotta spice up.
Get differing opinions.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. I look forward to the day that I have those guests on. That'll be a good time.
Yeah, maybe not that, but Alex Jones is kind of
Alex
a character.
Jones, he is a character.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll wrap
okay.
it up. It's getting long.
Sure.
Evan, thank you again for kind of coming back on and talking about this. I want to thank all of you guys for listening to the Over the Edge podcast. Look forward to seeing you guys next week. As always, have a good rest of your day and go Utes.
Oh, thank you.